cook. I know we don't have an intro for the podcast, but we're not going to be able to get Gareth to meow.
Could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 49 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at the Bridge Bar in Beckenham. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello.
And Cookie.
Hello.
We've got a busy episode as always, so why don't you take us through what we've got coming up, guys?
Coming up onto this episode, we review the match against Aldershot, and you also catch up with an interview with Neil Smith after
that. And obviously, preceding that, beforehand, we had the FA Youth Cup, so we'll have a chat about that.
We're getting a roundup of the academy, including the team of the week.
I caught up with Mr. Adam Mecky earlier today.
We preview FC Halifax Town.
And we're going to get some FA Cup memories from some of the players as well.
And we're going to find out answers to the question of last week, which was FA Cup memories.
Fantastic. A big thank you to all the fans that have dropped a tweet over for those memories. It's probably been, as always, questions like that that we asked last week tend to be the ones that are most engaging, most responsive. Some great ones in there. And it was great to get some of the players' memories as well. So I look forward to that later on in the show. But obviously, FA Cup fever gripped the town last week, unless you read the New Shopper, of course. we had the pleasure of hosting Aldershot Town. Pleasure because we beat them. Guys, what a great day.
Well, I think we had the chance for it to be put to bed earlier than it should have been. I think we could have been 6-7 up in the end, couldn't we, Matt, with missed chances, etc. Obviously, Aldershot managed to concede three. But luckily we got four and we won. But it should have been, like I said, put to bed a lot earlier than that, shouldn't it?
Should have been a lot more comfortable, I think. Even the Aldershot manager said 3-1 flattered them at half-time. The goal was obviously, their first goal was deflected. We had a couple of chances before that as well to just keep increasing our lead. And we were rampant on the attack. The only question marks was obviously the defending for the three goals, which wasn't great. And Neil was really frustrated with, I know the players were frustrated with themselves having gone into the dressing room after the game. Usually it's a celebratory atmosphere when you win a game like that. And they were pleased, but they're also really disappointed that they conceded three goals. And, you know, you say you score four goals, you're going to win a game. But to concede three at home against a side who weren't very impressive at all was disappointing. But we're through to the first round, and that's what matters.
That's it. It was, got there in the end. And obviously the FA Cup then brought out a draw on Monday night where we drew.
Yeah, obviously, just before that, obviously, fantastic crowd, over 1,400 in here for the game, which considering season ticket holders had to pay, considering it wasn't on the fixture list at the start of the season, I think Palace and Mill were both at home. Really impressed. Aldershot brought no one. fair play, they brought a few. But like you say, to get into that hat. And I'll tell you one thing I do miss. In the old, going back probably over a decade now, but used to, well, no, maybe not that far, but the draw used to be straight afterwards. It used to be live on the BBC straight afterwards at 5:15, whatever it was. And some of those memories are shared later on in the episode. But now we have to wait till Monday, of course. And which is good in a way because it gave an opportunity for some Bromley fans to get together down in Ravens Bar. Who was here? You stayed in Ravens Bar? Good atmosphere?
I think it was. There was a couple of people down. Angie, Georgie, John, Ken, Alex all come down, sort of like Bromley regulars come down. We all
fantastic.
We watch a draw, screaming, jeering.
What about you lot? I was waiting. I didn't want us to come out, basically. I was waiting for us to be the last one, be the bye, and for it all to be.
Congratulations, Chichester.
Great. Yeah, congratulations. but yeah, like you say, the draw for me, I didn't really have any emotion when it happened. It sort of happened. I was like,
I think for me,
I had to remember whether they were League One or League Two.
Yeah,
because I'm terrible. But honestly, I don't even look at the league table half the time. I don't know. There's no winnable games and stuff. But you know when you just want You want a home game against someone below you.
Yeah.
Or you want an away game against someone you deem winnable, again because they're below you, but it's an FA Cup, so none of it really matters anyway.
Well, the problem with that is we thought we had that a couple of years ago with Rochdale and we lost 4-0. I think that...
Great atmosphere.
Yeah, it was a fantastic atmosphere, but I think this year, I mean, we always believe and we always have these faults, but there's no reason why we can't with the team we've got this year. There's an extra belief, and I think, forget the FA Cup, we've been on a fantastic run so far, and I think why not against Bristol, who are 7th, 8th in the table.
Obviously we're going to cover the FA Cup more in depth as we go, but Matt, obviously you shared your views on the game. Obviously Neil, you managed to catch up with him and summarise his view. I'm just about to hear from him, but he's very similar to you almost, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was great attacking wise, the performance, and a massive credit to, you know, obviously Cheek getting the goals, and obviously Jack and Kizzy with goals as well, which is great when your defenders are scoring. But he just said, I think the word he used was a little bit sloppy at times at the back. You know, we weren't under great pressure throughout the game like we were in the away game at Aldershot, and we managed to survive that, and we dealt with it really well that day. I think, yeah, it was a little bit casual just at times at the back, and that's what Neil sort of alludes to. But you know, the main thing for him is that we were in the hat for the first round. We've got our draw now, so he was pleased on that front, but he's looking for improvement from his team defensively.
Fantastic, and here's a full interview for anyone who's not listened to it so far.
Neil, 4-3 scoreline today. Are you pleased?
Mixed emotions, as in we've got through to the next round, which is always your agenda. It doesn't matter how you get there, but on the bigger picture, no, I'm not not pleased in respect of you score 4 goals at home, you shouldn't be hanging on to get a result, and that's how I felt we were towards the end of it. You know, great set plays, corners, everything else, and Cheeky scores too, but I'll look on the other side of it and we'll give 3 soft goals away, which is very unlike us, and with the big games that are coming up, we're going to have to be a lot better.
So you'd say we made it a bit more difficult than it should have been?
Yeah, you know, as I said before, it was like, this is our cup final, don't care how we get there, but I've got to look at the bigger picture, and I don't want to, you know, give them a pat on the back with the way we play, because we're a lot better than that, but we have got through to the next round, and you know, hopefully the gods are looking at us and we get another home draw, maybe have a second round, you know, because this club's never done it, so that's what I want to achieve. But I'm looking at further ahead, and you're playing Halifax next week, and we're going to have to be a lot better.
Fine lines perhaps, Adam Mecky with a chance to make it 4-1 right before it was 3-2 at
we've had a goal disallowed with Josh Rees, and you speak to the linesman, he said you literally the arm and the shoulder, and you're like, well, you've spotted that well, you know, how have you found that one? And then Mecky goes through, I thought was brilliant, and it was great to see him back in the first half, but maybe the legs just died on him when he went through, and you know, just that kills the game off, makes it 4-1 or something like that, and you think that's it, game over. But it wasn't to be, but the boys still rallied round, they threw themselves in the way of things, and we got the result in the end.
Someone else it was great to see back, Jordan Higgs.
Yeah, Higgsy, you know, like I said, we missed obviously Rico today, Billy Bingham today, Martel Klass obviously wasn't allowed to play because of the FA Cup, but on the plus side, you've got Mecky back, who's first start in a long time, and I thought he, as I say, was very good first half, and you've got Higgsy back, who's been out for a long time, so all of a sudden the squad, we should have the players all fit for next week as well, should all be back, and it's competition for places again.
And next week, obviously, home to FC Halifax, the top of the table clash, but before that, the FA Cup draw.
Yeah, no, can't wait for Monday. We'll reflect on the game itself on Monday and Tuesday, but it's nice to be in the draw. Hopefully we get a favourable one at home, but at the same time we'll be preparing for ourselves for Halifax. Massive game, you know, we had one against Woking, top of the table clash, and we've got another one this week, so looking forward to it, but you know, we need the crowd to get behind us, and like they did today, and hopefully they've got enough fingernails for next week.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
Great to hear from Neil there. Moving away from First Team Affairs, obviously, to our academy. Obviously, before the FA Cup fun on Saturday, we also had the FA Youth Cup cook on Friday night.
Yes, we did, Jeff, and obviously Ravens progressed, beating Corinthians 6-1 a couple of weeks before, but they did travel to Averley in Essex last Friday.
And they travelled there knowing that a win would mean a trip to either Croydon or Sutton.
Yeah, but unfortunately it wasn't to be.
See, that's how bad I am, because I was looking ahead.
Despite a one-all draw in 90 minutes,
it went to extra time. Ollie Tanner free kick?
It was indeed. And then extra time, and then it went to penalties where, Unfortunately, the Ravens bowed out of the FA Youth Cup. So not great, but obviously made up for it on the Saturday. But congratulations to them for obviously doing such a great job and a lot of talent coming through the youth ranks as well.
I'm sure you learn as much from losing just as you do from winning. So no doubt, I'm sure for those young players, they'll all take the experience on board of them. And yeah, you go again next year, I imagine. But obviously,
best of luck to Avely as well.
Definitely against Croydon and Sutton. It was a busy week prior to that, though, obviously, for the academy in general. Matt Cook?
Yes, it was. Plenty of games going on, so we'll keep a few
obviously, it's half term this week, isn't it? So we're summarising up previous week, off and half term. I think they're back next week, is it possibly, I think?
So the under-17s, first of all, were away to Norwich on Wednesday and unfortunately fell to a 4-2 loss in the under-19.
Oh, that's a long road back, isn't it?
It is indeed. But there was also a big shout-out to TRS Year 13 Development Beast team, which is a mouthful. But they played in the FA Academy Championship and in Ravenswood. And they come out 11-1 winners.
And these are the guys that are doing the A-levels over at Ravensbourne, aren't they?
Yes.
So the players of Ravensbourne, development squad, etc. And wow, yeah, 11-1 win.
And unfortunately, the Academy ladies lost at home against APD 5-0, but still showing a lot of promise in that team.
Great, for us to have an Academy ladies team in action. You know, it's amazing how far that side of the Academy have come.
Yeah, not many great results across the Academy last week, but obviously they're allowed a day off because they several teams have been in so well this season already.
Well, obviously a lot of the players are involved on the Friday night as well, so I imagine they weren't necessarily playing on a Wednesday. But nevertheless, do check out over on the website, the Academy section. James Tanner and Mark Hammond have been doing a great job of correlating all results and teams of the week, etc. And they're doing their utmost to try and get the goals and the coverage over there for you. And it's really enjoyable to see. So for our player interview this week, Matt, you've managed to catch up with Adamecki. Obviously lots to go through, I imagine.
Yeah, just to comment on that, Adam's a great speaker and he's always great to catch up with. His views on the game are really interesting. He's very well spoken as well and he always gives a good insight, and he's had a very, very difficult few months.
He's doing coaching badge. Is he one of the players that's doing
no, it's oh, Josh no, and Josh oh, and Luke. Sorry. No, he's been putting in the work though. He's been putting in the hours, and I think he's reaping the rewards now. He came on against Solihull, Jeff, and I'm sure you'll agree he was fantastic.
Oh my god!
And he earned himself the start against Aldershot last week, and I thought he did really well. And he was so close to making it 4-1 just before Aldershot scored their second. And you know he's disappointed that he didn't score it, but at the end of the day he put in a great performance, and he can be really pleased with himself. He's looking sharp. He's looking strong, and hopefully he'll get that goal very soon. But it was great to speak to him. I just sort of wanted to catch up with him for how he's been in the past few weeks and also look ahead to the match at the weekend. Adamecki, good to have you back on the podcast and good to have you back on the pitch. How are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling good, feeling ready to go. It's been a good sort of 2 weeks now for me, myself. So happy to be sort of back in the team, back in contention, and yeah, looking forward to tomorrow.
Has it been a relief to get back on? I mean, I've seen a couple of times you were going to come on as a substitute and then it's not happened, but you started against Aldershot last week, your old club, and played really well.
I've had to be patient, I've had to wait my time, and I've had to train hard and prove to the manager my level of fitness and where I'm at within the boys. Obviously, I know, you know, I missed a lot of pre-season sort of doing rehab and doing my own thing, but so I've always sort of been playing catch up after that. But it's you know, I've had a couple of substitute appearances, done all right, and yeah, the manager saw fit to start me against Aldershot. It was nice to win that game and do all right, and yeah, so looking forward to tomorrow.
And obviously that was an FA Cup game, so through to the first round, and the draw sees us play Bristol Rovers away. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I saw someone said something earlier about how Bristol Rovers the last few years have gone out to non-league sides anyway. It's a big club, there'll be a lot of fans there away. And definitely a potential upset on the card, so it's one that we're looking forward to, but more importantly we've got top of the league tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right, and looking ahead to that, it is a big game, isn't it, because the winner will actually be top rather than joint top.
Yeah, I think there's ourselves in it and a couple of other teams that are sort of up there at the moment, and obviously when we played Yeovil, it was disappointing, obviously with Mark Cousins having the injury and whatnot, but you know that was another team that was up there, and then obviously playing Halifax tomorrow, who have consistently been up there as well since the start. So, yeah, I think we've done some analysis on them, and they look really good, really positive. So I think it'll be good, two good teams tomorrow going at it at the top of the table clash.
And obviously we've always got confidence in ourselves, but at the start of the season, did you see Bromley and Halifax as the top two sides at this stage in the season?
No, I think you sort of, when you look at it pre-season, I think you look at the recruitment that we've had this summer, you always back yourselves to be up there or thereabouts, and you look around the teams that have come down, you look at sort of Yeovil and Notts County, and then obviously pre-season they were having financial difficulties, so you weren't really sure what team you were going to get with them. And then, you know, you looked at the bigger clubs, you know, you've filed Wrexhams and Chesterfield, and they've not got off to the start that they'd like to. So yeah, I think it's anyone's game at the moment, and I think at the moment it's we're looking like real contenders with our start to the season.
Well, Adam, best of luck for the game, and we'll catch up with you after.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from Adam there. Right, well, this has worked quite well actually, because next up we're going to talk about the FA Cup and FA Cup memories, and obviously it's just been confirmed that our game's been moved, Cook.
Yeah, Sunday the 10th of November. It's going to be a 12:45 kickoff. Nice and early, away to Bristol Rovers, and we're going to be on TV thanks to coverage from BBC.
Yes, it's the BBC. So their live games came out on Thursday, didn't they? They announced, was it 6 live games or whatever? I mean, Dover South End, give me a break.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. And so we then put the update out because we knew we weren't on live on telly, that's fine. But then we knew there was still another round of these, what do they call them, BBC final score coverage, and there's some extended highlight ones.
Extended highlights.
There's overseas coverage as well, isn't there, or whatever. And so, yeah, you're still sort of hanging on to the end of today to try and work out, okay, just to confirm when it actually is. Yeah, and obviously we've been informed that BBC have chosen us as one of, is it 6 games I think they've chosen in total?
Yes.
To be broadcast live on the day. I think we're one of the single camera ones, so they obviously just cut to us during the final score or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. From watching it last year, trying to wrap my brains.
So yeah, so and as a result of that, they've moved us to Sunday. 12:45 kickoff, Sunday the 10th of November.
It's exposure for the club.
We're obviously again apologies if I imagine it's caused inconvenience to some people, and apologies if people have booked anything in advance. We did try and make it clear that the FA still have, you know, still yet to fully confirm everything. Obviously that is now the case. We're currently working with Bristol Rovers to try and get all the ticketing details confirmed as soon as possible. We're hoping no later than Monday. The club are also looking at supporters, coach travel, and trying to make sure as many supporters as possible can get there. So please bear with us until Monday. We're hoping to have some good positive news regarding how the club is hoping to try and support travel for supporters planning to go out there. So bear with us till Monday on that one. Right. Last week, Cook, we actually asked a question for the podcast for a change.
We did indeed. We asked, what is your favourite FA Cup memory?
Yeah, I mean, the topic of subject was pretty easy, considering we obviously had the FA Cup that Saturday. But for a change, well, firstly, a big thank you to everybody who submitted their responses via social media. It's always fantastic to read and share with you. It's the only reason we're doing this. But for a change, we did think, why not ask the players for their FA Cup memories?
Joined by Mark Cousins. Mark, we're talking about FA Cup memories, and you must have several over your career, but one in particular for you?
It'll be last season beating Sheffield United at Bramall Lane 1-0. Fantastic day. Really like going into it, massive underdogs, and we actually deserve to win. So it was a great, great day.
Brilliant, Mark. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michael, we're going to ask you on your favourite FA Cup moment. You might have as a player. So have you got one in particular that stands out for you?
Scoring 2 at Bromley, beating Aldershot 4-3. There you go. How's that?
That's good. Thank you very much. Joined by Ben May now. Ben, what's your best FA Cup memory that you've got?
Oh, it's too many, Cookie.
Would there be one in particular? You played Everton, didn't you?
Yes, we had Everton. We drew Everton at home at the Den when I was playing for Millwall. Dunny was probably playing. I can't remember. I just remember playing up front with little Marvin Williams. Got an assist, and I think it was, I'm sure it was 1-1. They got a last minute equaliser, or an 85th minute equaliser, which meant we was playing up at Goodison a couple of weeks later. That's Jim Stannard snoring. And what happened? Oh, and then we drew 1-0, stayed up there. Great experience. Obviously a great ground to play at. Unfortunately, Tim Cahill come back and scored to beat us 1-0, unfortunately. But yeah, good experience, and I'll obviously remember that forever. Go on in, Jim. What you got for us?
Jim, have you got one in particular, Jim Stannard?
I ain't got one, Cookie. Thank you very much. Till I might, bye.
All right. Short and sweet there from Jim.
Adam Mecky, you told me you got one now. Your favourite FA Cup memory?
Yeah, just had a quick think, and it was one of our more recent ones. Was I think we played Dover here in the FA Cup, and I scored, and it was nice to send the boys through, and we went through after that. So that was a nice little memory for me.
Is it a competition you look forward to being involved in every year?
Yeah, it's nice. It's obviously it's a bit of revenue for the club, which is always nice. You've always got the potential to go on a run, get publicity, play against some of the sort of best teams in the country. So yeah, it's a great cup to be in, and a great cup that we do take seriously regardless of who we've got, and we will be going for it.
Big thank you to Cousins, Cheek, mate, and Mickey there. Jim, I'm not sure. Jim must have some memories, surely.
No, not really. He said that he's never done well in the FA Cup, so he did bring up one memory he got excited about, then realised it was the League Cup. So yeah, if anyone can stand corrected on him, we can bring it up with him. But yeah,
fantastic.
Nothing he can remember.
Okay, so we're going to move on to fans who've submitted their memories and stuff. It's been great fun watching them all come in today, I must admit. Oh, apologies.
On this day, 2014, we did beat Evesham away in the FA Cup.
Which is a great FA Cup memory, to be fair. Where are we going to start?
Hazard Jacobs, he said it has to be Leighton or Winter away. What was that, 2011?
I was kit man that day. Jeez.
And that's when, remember that, that's when it was, I'm just trying to think, who got sent off? Aaron Rule got sent off.
Aaron Rule.
Tommy Fullcastle.
George Porter was playing against us.
George Porter was playing against us.
We took thousands there, didn't we?
We took 1,300, didn't we? Yeah, absolutely.
Thousands. Oh, Gareth walked in. Cool, yeah, that was.
Other people said James Dodd has said Worcester City at home in the last Coral Farm Raid of the 12-13 season. Absolute scenes when Paquette scored in the last couple of minutes. So he had that. Just trying to think.
Lord Andrew Dennett over on Twitter, Grays away, fourth round qualifying, and then drawing Gillingham away in the first round proper. Unbelievable scenes.
That's one thing that, you've got from memory.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolute brilliant day. I think Brad was on the Bradley Goldberg, he was on the terrace with us all. What were they? Conference National at the time, were they?
Grays.
We were conference.
Yeah.
And we went there and we were fantastic.
No, it was Ryman Premier.
Ryman Premier.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Ryman Premier. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And
two leagues below.
Lloyd Blackman. Was it Lloyd Blackman with both goals? I think so. We won. And back then, like I say, you were straight. That was it. The draw was straight away. So you're like, you've got to get to the nearest telly, which just happens to be, by the way, the Grays Athletic home supporters bar.
Rubbing
so you're
salt into the wounds.
That's what I mean. So you're all piling in there, and all the Grays fans are sitting in there, and there's a little set of Bromley fans all in there, and we're looking up at a screen, and it was fantastic, mate. June came up, and you were like, oh, hello. And it went Bromley, like, yeah. But yeah, that was brilliant. That was absolutely fantastic. That must have been 06, 07. Yeah, blimey.
Colin Head is going back a good while. He said 1996, a 1-0 victory against Sutton in the October. It was the first time we had reached the first round in 19 years, and even better, it was a win against them. So
following on from the Grays tweet, Steve Denny, McDonald's scoring against Gillingham and the scaffold stand nearly collapsed. Not good when sitting at the back. Absolutely. Yeah. I won't repeat that. But he obviously got a bit scared. But I do remember that. There must have been 1,600 packed into the stand at Gillingham. I mean, if anyone's ever been to Priestfield, it's awful. You wait for City behind the goals like a Meccano set of temporary seating. And I just remember that they obviously did reserved seating for the stand, which obviously doesn't work with for everyone who's already been on the terrace and wants to stand next to each other. So I do remember everyone basically ignoring that. And there was one row of about 12 seats, and the steward came up, but he went, "You're all in your seats." And it was about 30 of us all in a row, standing up in a row of about 12 seats. And But yeah, we were 2-0 down, I think. And then I think it was Gareth Williams played an unbelievable ball round the corner. It was from in his own half, through to Nick McDonnell. And I slotted it past the goalkeeper, and it was like, just there's old BBC footage. Mark Avenel recorded it. I think it must have been on VHS or something. But and he uploaded it. It's on the internet somewhere. And it just goes off. You see the whole bank of fans just absolutely rocking. It was fantastic.
Electric. Another one is Pete Williams says it's an easy one. Eddie Akamoa kisses the Sutton badge before he sliced it into his own net in the third round qualifying replay 2004.
That's Sutton. And Jerry, I remember because Jerry told me a story about this. So two things. A, Akimoa, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, proves Bromley player, blah, blah, blah. Everyone hated him. And they all say, like you say, kissed, was it before a corner? And he kissed a badge or something to annoy Bromley fan that went in. And, but I remember speaking to Jerry about that memory. And he said he in the original tie, had Bruce Elliott of Sutton came up to him and they both shook hands, said hello to each other. And because Sutton, where was Sutton? They're obviously well above. Bruce turned around to Jerry and he said, "Tell you what about we go hard? What about we go 50-50 on the prize money? So you know, win, lose, whatever. You know what goes." And you've got to be honest, for Jell and for the club, that probably would have been an easy, or you know, in your head potentially maybe an easy decision of, okay, well you know, why not? But. Yeah, don't know. That's quite ballsy from Jell. He's gone, no, you're all right. And obviously, we draw there and then a replay back here at one. So he absolutely loves that one, which is better than his memory of the FA Cup in Leatherhead. Because it's a Leatherhead one. We lost to Leatherhead in the FA Cup. And he went back there a year later with Julia. And the chairman came over and, "Oh, Jell, nice to see you again. I bet you're wondering what we did with the old FA Cup prize money." You can imagine Jell, can't you? No. No, I wasn't. He went, "No, come on, I'll show you." And they've taken him out to a shed behind the goal. And he's opened it up and they've got a new tractor. And honestly, they're standing there and he goes, and they're saying to Joe, "We've called it Bromley." Can you believe that? What an outrageous thing to do.
I know. We've got other bits as well. Paul Hoy says about the atmosphere and the non-stop singing at Rochdale.
A couple of people Rochdale said that. Was fantastic. You know what?
4-0 defeat.
I genuinely,
Roger Johnson said,
don't know
after
what
three
it was.
Minutes.
I remember going, we're gonna go there and win.
Yeah.
I was like, this is it.
But they're struggling. The
this
one at the
this
time.
Is
that's
it. This is gonna be the one. And sending off inside three. Was it?
No. Roger Johnson got injured after the third minute.
Roger got injured.
Hamstring. So he went down. And then what? Then come into it. I think another 5 minutes.
Didn't
later,
stop bouncing and rocking. I remember bouncing at the bottom of the stand as well.
So balloons, all the balloons went up.
Balloons, yeah.
I remember blowing up a load of balloons with everyone around us that Julia brought. Mash. He said a pitch invasion after the 2-2 draw at Bishop Stortford in the second round qualifier.
Brilliant. I've seen a few. The only reason this is so, there's been a few tweets about this, and I know me and my brother have been mentioned. So we were filming at the time the games on like a mini DV camera, and then we'd manage to edit it, and then we'd get it uploaded as quickly as possible. And we might have even been doing it officially for the club at that point. Like we did BFC TV back then and BromleyFC.tv or whatever it was. And I remember it was I co-scored it. I don't know, but it was scenes, and yeah, there was a pitch invasion. Numerous people involved. They all know who they are, and I think like to the point where one of them even like kicked the ball back in the goal, or it hit the post and hit the goalkeeper or something. And it was proper one of those. This is brilliant, and complete naive or young or. I don't know, I didn't see any problem with it. And we edited the highlights afterwards and got the highlights and I think we might have even done a slow-mo replay. And I left I left the moment where the fans fell about 20 yards into the pitch. I didn't think of anything. Oh, that's funny, they're going to laugh. Everyone's going to have a laugh at that. Well, I who was it? I think it was Colin or Iona, secretaries at the time. Just remember getting a phone call from him straight away, and I remember thinking, "Oh no, what have I done? What have I?" And then the footage had to come down straight away. And you know what? I've got it somewhere. I'm adamant I have. I've got the original footage somewhere. I've got to dig it out.
Obviously, I laugh about that, but we can't have pitch invasions.
We got the old pitch incursion letter warning. I think I don't think we got fired, or did we? I can't remember. I don't know, but it was a fantastic moment. Who scored the goal, though? I think Hayden Burr was around at the time as well. It was a left foot.
Jacob Erskine?
No. He only played for us half season or something, this fella, I'm sure.
No.
But yeah, apologies, sorry. But that was brilliant. And I've just seen Colin Heads as well. Relates to James Dodd's ones. Worcester City at home in the last qualifying round in the 2012-13 season, I think. The absolute scenes in the terrace behind the goal, and Richard Paquette scored in the last couple of minutes. I remember that. That was... boom! It just went off, and he came running past. And I think it was Mark Avenel. This isn't a video podcast, but I'm showing you. Look at that photo. Yeah.
Yes,
I actually remember that. I think it's Mark Avenel or Ed. Apologies if I've done either of them a disservice there. But the photo is just like pure. It was fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
Georgie says Joe Dolan trying to kick the ball away into the stand. Once we lost, he missed it completely and the ball ended up in someone's back garden.
Carlos Aaron Twitter, at home to Ebbsfleet in 2009. Absolute top quality performance against higher league opposition. That was on this day yesterday or something, wasn't it?
What game was that?
It was like 3-0 or something. Ebbsfleet were in the National League.
It was yesterday, yeah.
We were in the Conference Southwind. We absolutely annihilated him that day.
Jacob Erskine and Warren McBean got the goals.
Blimey.
What a player, Warren McBean.
Will Clutton as well also mentioned the pub before Gillingham 2006. That was brilliant. They had an away pub and all the Bromley flags were in the windows and the pub was full, absolutely full of Bromley fans. And Sky Sports News back then was... he didn't have widescreen back then. It was the old 4x6 cut. They had all the blue and white Sky Sports News titles and they had an interview with Mark Goldberg. And everyone, whee! And... obviously, it was only, 3-4 months into his time with us. And so a few people started chanting the old Mikey Goldberg's Black White Army. And that was like, half went down well, half didn't. And I remember we'd played Gillingham that pre-season and me and my brother had filmed the game. And Sky Sports asked us for the footage from that game. So the goal, I think he scored it. I can't remember who scored it. But we beat Gillingham 1-0 or 2-0. And our footage of the goal, we had to put on a mini DV tape, which, by the way, was about £5 a tape back then. It wasn't cheap. we had to send it off by post to Sky Sports up in West London or whatever.
Middlesex, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever get the tape
back?
No.
It's ridiculous.
We're going to have to find out from their archives.
Yeah. But our footage is live on this telly being watched by me. It's fantastic.
So what's yours? What's your favourite memory? Have you got one in particular or do several stand out?
Mangot's Field away.
Yeah,
we played them here, and I think we drew 1-1 or whatever. We scored in the last minute; and it was disallowed, and then we had to go up to Mangot's Field on the Tuesday night. You had to bunk off school and everything. I can't remember how old I was then, but it was just a proper camaraderie and stuff there. The group, it's a small set of fans every away game, and I was 15, 16, whatever. I remember. Just always, everyone always looked out for each other. How are you getting to the game and stuff? It still goes on today. But back then it was something quite special. And, I remember getting there slightly late, I think, on the train. It was absolutely bucketing it down. And it honestly, 85 minutes, still 0-0. The pitch is torrential. It was just.
Yeah, the train to catch home.
And, 85 minutes, Adrian Stone, the worst corner you've ever seen, comes into the box and it's at about knee high on the corner of the box and he just bends down, sort of does like this backwards header and it looped over everybody, it hit the post and went in and you're hugging people behind the goal, it's pitch black, they had like this terracing with a small roof on the top, they had no interior light, anything like that, absolutely, you're hugging everyone, absolutely, and at the end of the game, everyone's charged down to the front, all the players are charging in, Barry Gardner, Wade Fulana, and Wade Fulana came charging in so much so that he's literally right hooked one of our flans. I think it was, was it Antonio Fletcher? And knocked his glasses off, and in the stampede, mate, broken glasses a lot. That was it, because it was, I think I was on the train back home with Antonio Fletcher, and he literally had his broken glasses, I think that's probably mine. Being Kitman at Orient was something, but the game wasn't. I'm trying to think. Yeah, they're definitely up. The Gillingham Greys are fantastic.
Well, I liked Evesham away, just going back to that one. Because You said about the footage
from BT Sport. My brother did, and he was all doing behind the scenes, wasn't he?
No, I was doing it with him.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd done that, and my highlights got on... it was BBC when they'd done a live game. So I had that as well. That was one of my highlights. Orient just for taking 1,300 people then, and obviously despite losing 3-0, still having a great day. But I think my particular highlight, despite we lost, was it was
because Dartford, they Dartford, aren't you? Yeah, I've literally just seen that.
The crowd was electric.
Bro, it was like there's photos from the day which make it look like a European Italian game with flares and smoke bombs, and there was God knows how many people inside the ground that day. That was that was a huge crowd.
Well, obviously,
and I've never and who said it? I think someone said it over on Twitter. I don't think you've heard a noise like it when Waldo scored. Was it the third?
Yeah,
just
well, you had Louis Denny score in the first minute, room.
And
people were still coming into the ground.
How do you score three goals home and not win a game? Yeah, it was. It generally felt like the best opportunity ever to get through to that second round. And by the way, look, you've seen the state of the pitch. Watch those highlights. They're still online somewhere. Oh, it's unbelievable.
It ruined it. So that's that, I think, really.
No, Lloyd over on Twitter. How's your away? Weekend in Hastings, two down on a rock hard pitch. Viking flicking us. A local fan's flicking them the V's at half time. Went on to win 3-2 with a Sean Devine hat trick. Loads of offy boos end up watching Match of the Day with a pizza in bed and Airbnb. Hashtag magic moments. Love it.
It's not just about the game, is it? It's the memory you make.
Grays away 2006. Went there hoping to keep the score down and play them off the park. I love all this. Well, hopefully we're going to... Obviously, we've got... I've lost my train of thought, Cook. we're top of the table. We've got league games to go anyway, but no doubt we're going to come back to this for our FA Cup special ahead of our trip to Bristol Rovers, I'm sure, in future podcasts. So no doubt we'll be asking a similar question again, and we'll be getting everyone's memories all over again. I'm sure there's some that people have forgotten and they'll remember after this podcast goes out. So please do get in touch. And how do they do that, Cook?
They can do that by emailing podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk, or you can get on our social medias, which is on Twitter @BromleyFC, Facebook.com/BromleyFC, and also you can do it on Instagram @BromleyFC again, and using the hashtag Ravens Weekly.
Obviously, before all of that, we've got our top of the table clash at home to Halifax Town tomorrow. No doubt it's going to be another fantastic game. Obviously, a team in form because they're top of the table.
Yeah, in form, but lost their last league game against
scrap that
2-0. But then again, we lost it as well. But like you said, Matt, Halifax do sit top of the league, same points as us. However, obviously, goal difference, I believe, is slightly better. Even though Bromley scored more, we've conceded a lot more. So I think the goal difference is 5 at the minute. But yeah, just to go back through it, obviously, last game they lost to Bournemouth. Before that, a draw against Chorley. And then two wins against Maidenhead and Dover.
And I just want to add to that, Cookie, that they lost in the FA Cup last week. They were knocked out at home to Harrogate Town, so they've actually lost their last two games.
They was indeed, Matt. But who is your, who's your man or men to watch?
Liam McAlinden's their top scorer at the moment. Ex-Wolves player who joined them from Cheltenham and has found really, really good form this season.
Is that the Irish player?
He's definitely a danger. Yes, he is Irish, yeah. Jamie Allen, the ex-Dover man as well, is tricky and is weighing in with a few assists. And obviously, fans will know about Tobisho Silva, who obviously...
Ex-Dover player.
Another ex-Dover player. Yeah, Cookie, well done. who obviously played for Bromley a few years ago and actually had a reasonably good season with us. So it'll be interesting to see him back here. I think he had a few months out due to quite a serious injury. So good to see him back playing football. Just hope he has an off day tomorrow. But across the park, you've got to commend Pete Wild for the job that he's done. Obviously coming in only a couple of weeks before the start of the season after the previous manager had left. Not having a lot of time to assemble a squad, but they sit joint top of the table with us, like you say, a better goal difference, but they've had an amazing start to the season. But we hope that their games in a row lost goes to 3 tomorrow.
Well, fingers crossed on that, Matt. But with that, we've got BT Sport Down doing their final score thing, the little beam back that they do during their version of Soccer Saturday. So they've got a cameraman and a presenter down here just doing the beam back. So yeah, fingers crossed we can be put on TV in a more positive light tomorrow.
Fingers crossed for some better weather than we've had this week as well.
And obviously the usual details, tickets available online in advance, Cook?
Yes, if you go to www.bromleyfc.co.uk, you'll be able to purchase tickets. Just remember, for home and away, there are different links, so don't click the wrong one. Spend a couple of minutes looking at the website. And you can get your tickets up until
1 o'clock
tomorrow.
Kids go free. So make sure you, as an adult, you buy a ticket in advance in order to make the most of that. I'm really hopeful we're going to have a big crowd. I think Palace aren't playing until Sunday. Millwall away.
Top of the table.
We're absolutely flying. Great crowd for the FA Cup. Little buzz in the air. Shame we're not going to have all the details confirmed for the FA Cup just yet. So I don't know what I'm saying. It's because everyone's going to knock on the office door anyway and come in tomorrow and ask. But we're hoping to have all those details confirmed over the weekend and announced on Monday. Be great to see as many of you as possible down at Hayes Lane on Saturday. As usual, big thank you to everyone who's helped us promote the game. As ever, a big thank you to Matt.
Thank you.
And to Cookie.
Thank you.
And we'll be back again next week.
Have a good off day, Matt. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.